Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. Makati Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome to .com and the Den Mondays. I'm Roger Aldridge from the racing.com side of things. My co-host from Wolf Den in his den is Richard Irvin. Rich, how are you, mate? Another magical weekend of racing.
I am, mate. I'm stoked to be back for week two of this show. It's my favourite show to make and I do make a lot of shows. So full credit to you for being part of my favourite show. But magic day of racing on Saturday and we're going to unpack it all and also look forward as we always do.
Yeah, we'll dissect the weekend, tell you what mattered with our straight six, the six big takeaways from Saturday. Let's get stuck into it. And Rich, Moya Stakes, Mornington Glory winning the Group 1. Second week in a row, we've had a first-time Group 1 winning trainer in Gavin Bedgegood. An elite training performance to get Mornington Glory up for victory. Sometimes you don't need the best horse, Rich. You just need to find the right race. And the horse has got to be ready for it. We flagged last week that Mornington Glory, 1,000 metres around the valley. He's a specialist, and that'll take you a long way.
Yeah, 1,000 metre races for 1,000 metre horses was what I heard a bit last week in before the race. But yeah, fantastic. Gavin Bedgegood, obviously really popular person within the industry. Used to be a jumps jockey, so he's sort of come full circle to now be training sprinters in a Group 1 race. But look, culmination of a really good preparation for Mornington Glory. I think a lot's been said about the whole situation. I don't think we need to dive into it too much more. We do know that Mornington Glory's next start will be in the Scalacci over 1,100 metres at Caulfield. I think it's Caulfield Guineas Day, that is. So it's about 4 or 5 weeks away. It seems like the perfect race for him. I know they don't think that he can get up to 1,200 metres, which is part of the reason why he's not going on to the Manicata. They really like keeping it at that really short, sharp distance. So well done, Mornington Glory.
Yeah, and well done also to Shane Crawford. His Hawks won on Friday night, the premiership player from 2008, a Brownlow medalist and a part owner of Mornington Glory. So he had a big weekend, Crawf. 1,000 metres in the valley, first up. Not a good scenario for I Wish I Win, and yet he closed off brilliantly and looks to have returned in really good order as he eyes the Everest.
You couldn't have hoped for a better run from I Wish I Win if you're a supporter. He's ran the fastest 800, 600, 400, 200, the last 8, 4, 6, 2 of the meeting. So it just shows he was absolutely flying. He'll go into the Manicata now. He looks like he's a massive chance in that. I mean, the Everest looks like it's sort of, you got two outstanding chances, which is Bella Nipotina and I Wish I Win. We'll talk about Bella Nipotina a little bit later. But, first things first, we've got to get through the Manicato. But, yeah, massive, massive tick for I Wish I Win. I look forward to listening to Moody on the mic with you this Wednesday to see what Moods has got to say about it. I'm sure he'll be very, very happy.
Oh, he would have been rat rich. The Blue Diamond winner, Haya Sergi, was also terrific. You can see it's in the market there for the Manicato, $6 second favourite. It looks set for a really strong three-year-old campaign. And I know Clint McDonald is a huge fan of his star.
Yeah, everyone's talking about her. She looks like sort of the best three-year-old filly going around. I guess you've got to say, I know there's a lot of them out there, but at the moment she's sort of the elect because she's doing it against the older horses. Clint McDonald says she just rolls straight on to the Manicato. That little bit extra distance is going to help. She gets an extra 200 metres. She was coming home very, very fast at the end there, and she'll be a big player in the Manicato.
Yeah, that's on grand final eve. It's new slot. So, Haya Sergi winning the Manicato would be very fitting because, of course, Clint McDonald's grandfather, Bon, was the trainer of Manicato when he won the Golden Slipper. Passed away shortly after, but he was the original trainer of Manicato. Estriella and Lady of Camelot were the two favourites heading into the Moya on Saturday. What did you make of their respective runs?
Estriella, I think it's a case of how many more chances she's going to get at the top grade. I love her as a horse. I watched... want her to be sort of the pound for pound best sprinter in the country. It was Imperatriz. Estrella was sort of maybe the next one, but she had a go in the Sangster. It wasn't up to it then. You know, it seemed like the pressure got to her there. And once again, when the pressure was on in the Moya on Saturday, it looked like she just wasn't quite up to it. You got to push on. You got to go to the Manicato, and they will. I'd love to see her win the Manicato. Will she end up winning a Group 1 race? Yeah, I think for sure. Is she going to be a pound-for-pound weight for age star? The jury's out. I think she gets one more chance in the Manicato. And if she can't win the Manicato, then I think we probably have to lessen our level for her. Lady Camelot, maybe a little bit disappointing. I know Gay was not that happy with young Zach Lloyd's ride. She gave him a bit of constructive criticism after, which you can see on social media, them having a robust but definitely respectful conversation. I believe Gay says that Lady of Camelot will come back to Sydney. They don't want to hang around for the Manicato. So, both below par runs, you've got to say.
Not as robust a discussion as perhaps Gay and Singo had after she pulled out Barry 11 for more Joyce than the Cox played all those years ago. But
yeah,
Gay would be a little bit more measured than Singo when upset, I would imagine. Hey, we spoke obviously of Clinton McDonald already. And when it comes to exciting three-year-olds, there was a good push for Angel Capital in the Mackenzie Stakes. Ben Mallum rode him to perfection. And you'd think Clint's got some options moving forward with this horse.
Yeah, so interestingly, his biggest issue is that he thinks that he might be just too brilliant for that 1,600 metres of the Caulfield Guineas. He's unsure. It was a big talking point over the weekend. I've been listening to a lot of people talking about, obviously, Angel Capital has a lot of potential, and is he going to be a 1,200-metre horse, or can they stretch him out to the mile? I think it's just a case of going on to the Guineas Prelude, which is in 2 weeks' time. That's what Clint McDonald says he'll do. See how he goes in that and also how he hits the line and then make a decision from there. He could absolutely come back to the Coolmore distance of 1,200 metres. But I think everybody thinks that he is a Group 1 Spring Classic three-year-old in waiting, and it's just a matter of seeing which grand final they choose for him.
It's funny when trainers use that term, too brilliant. Like, you just mean too sharp, because if he's too brilliant, he wins it. He wins at any distance if he's brilliant. But anyway, we'll leave that aside. Epimels was well-backed and fancied by many in the Mackenzie. A forgive run for you, Rich?
So if you can see here, you're just seeing Epimels out the back there. Just didn't get – got blocked for a run by the Coolmore horse, the big grey. Lost all momentum and then never really had a chance to get back into it. So, yeah, let's forgive him and give him another chance, because I think he's better than that.
All right, the third in our straight six, Pericles. Just So You Think on the weekend, he was the best bet of the day for a lot of punters, and the Godolphin five-year-old didn't let them down. You'd think now they go and chase a Group 1, Rich, but is he a Group 1 horse?
Big question, isn't it? Yeah. Look, great win on Saturday, great result for the punters. Every time he goes to that Group 1 level, especially in the open company, seems to struggle. We know he's going to go on to the Underwood, which is an 1,800-metre race at Caulfield. I heard James Cummings on RSN yesterday morning say that. I asked the people. I went on to Twitter yesterday to our Twitter account.
You're a man of the people too, Rich.
I am a man of the people, absolutely. And this is the question I posed. Where would you run Pericles next? Bear in mind, Godolphin say he'll run in the Epsom. So your choices were, there's a Group 3 2,000-metre quality at Caulfield in a couple of weeks' time. Not many people like that. It seemed, generally speaking, people thought he was best to go to the Underwood, which is the Group 1 1,800-metre race. And the other option is the Fian, which is at the Valley again. Only Group 2 and only 1,600 metres, which is much more similar to the
does
style
the
of the race.
Does have to get in into the Cox Plate for the winner, though, the Fian.
Very good point. Very good point. So, look, it seems like generally the people think that he should go and have a crack at the Underwood. The Underwood's one of his best chances to get a Group 1 win. He's going to be coming up against horses who are having their first up runs into the Caulfield Cup, horses like Faulkner Park. So he might have the sort of the little bit of fitness edge on them. What could be an issue, though, is we might see some horses come down from Sydney. So one of the good races on Saturday was the Chelmsford. And here we can see Buckaroo about to go to the lead with Tommy Berry on board. The King Zone had a good bet on Buckaroo. Hinge comes out of the pack and tries to run it down. And Zardozi was the dominant favourite in the race, but did not run particularly well. So these horses could well come down to the Underwood, especially if Chris Waller thinks, he obviously trains both Buckaroo and Hinged. And he's got so many good horses, Waller, that he does need to try and separate them. So there could be a chance that these horses come down for the Underwood. What did you make of that race, Rog?
Yeah, I actually thought Buckaroo and Zardozi were the only winning chances, but Zardozi was really disappointing. There were a few experts on Twitter who were forgiving, but given the track conditions, but I'm not so sure. I thought Hinged was super, I think they'll target some pretty good races with Hinged later on in the spring. What about in the Atlantic Jewel at the Valley? Atlantic Jewel, one of my favourite horses, and it was such a shame we never got to see the best of her. They've got a race named after her now, though, and that's a good thing. And we did see a very nice winner in Silmarillion. And, you've made some pretty big comparisons for this filly, Rich.
Yeah, I have. So she reminds me a bit of Broadsiding. Broadsiding obviously arrived massively on the scene over the autumn by the same sire, by Too Darn Hot. kind of lightly racing, just slowly making her way through the grades. I think James Cummings would love to think that he could have another horse as good as Silmarillion. I thought it was a really competent win on Saturday. So James Cummings says that she'll probably run in the Jim Maloney in 2 weeks' time, a 1,400-metre race at Caulfield, and then decide where best to go for her. She could obviously go in the 1,000 guineas, something like that. She has been up for a little while, and the 1,000 guineas is a long way away. What does Frank her form a bit was the Silver Shadow that was run up in Sydney on Saturday. So here we've got Manal and Amina going to the line. They're a fair way off them here. Manal is in the green with the white cap really coming into the race now. And then you've got Amina outside of her. She's got the white cap in the Emirates Parks colours. They're both trained by the Freedmans. One by Amina's trained by Sam and Anthony. And then you've got Manal trained by Michael Freedman. So they went to the line strongly there. But what we do know is that Silmarillion split the two of them when they had their last start up in Sydney a couple of weeks back. So the form line's pretty strong. What is really exciting is that the first two across the line there, Manal and Amina, they will be taking on Autumn Glow in the T-Rose in a couple of weeks' time. So that will be an epic race. I believe it's at Randwick. And I was looking at the flight stakes market and Autumn Glow is like even money, and then you've got Manal and Amina out to like $10 or $11, so it shows that the bookies think that Autumn Glow is far, far superior to any other three-year-old filly going around at the moment.
There's a few good judges around saying Supercilious is the horse to follow from Saturday. You're one of them, Rich. I'll tell you what, I don't envy a race caller who's got to say Supercilious and also Silmarillion in the same sentence.
It's pretty hard. Imagine Kenny Callender trying to deal with that. Oh, yeah, Supercilious was a great run. So you can see Benny Allen's riding in here. Gets no clear running. Tries to sort of get going here. Still can't get any clear running. Finally does. And you can see that Silmarillion is off and gone. And I think what people really liked is that Supercilious really goes through the line. Definitely a horse to follow. It's not even quoted in the 1,000 guineas market at the moment. So I think we need to try and find out what kind of quote that is. I hate to say that. If it comes from us, they'll probably put her up pretty short.
We've got the connections to make something happen there, Rich. And look, Team Airborne in the Concord, Kieran Mark Quinella, the Concord Stakes. I've got to be honest, Rich, it was the runner-up, Bella Nipotina, not the winner, I Am Me, that impressed me the most. She is a bloody marvel, this mare.
Superstar, 31.8 for her last 600 metres. It's just completely Airborne. Like when horses are running 32.5, people are saying, gee, that was quick. She ran 31.8, which is just incredible. She's absolutely one of the best few horses in Australia. As I said earlier, she looks like she is just right in the thick of the Everest. I Am Me was great. Really good win. Dynamics Indications loved it, as you can see there. I think they probably may not go to the Everest. I think they want to poke around through the Sydney Sprint Series. There's some really good bonuses there on offer. So interestingly, I don't think they're all that keen to go to an Everest. It'll be interesting to see if a slot holder comes hard at them trying to get her in the race. And you would have to think, Rog, by the end of the week, surely someone snapped up Bella Nipotina for the Everest. Like,
you'd imagine. Only two slots have been nailed down, and that's I Wish I Win with Entain, and that's the Peter Moody connection with Entain, and yes, also Butling in the Neil Werrett spot. So, I'd imagine that she will have a slot before the end of the week. Gig Kick obviously returned in that race, drifted like Tom Hanks in Castaway. And for good reason. Look, a wise trainer once told me you'd save lots of money not backing horses first up off a long layoff. And it seems many heeted that advice. I think opened $3, got into $2.60, started $4.40, still favourite. I actually spoke to Clayton Douglas this morning, the great man, and he said he was pretty happy with the runner Giga because nothing was really, aside from Amina and Manal, nothing was really making ground on Saturday. So that's not going to suit Giga Kick. And basically, that track pattern was against him, and it was a strongly run race. Took his dash away a bit, Clayton said, and he actually thought he did quicken in the last 50, flattened out about 200, quickened again in the last 50, and actually got through the line well. So he's pretty happy. He'll have a trial in 2 weeks from tomorrow at Canterbury, and then 2 weeks after that, October 5 goes into the Premier Stakes, a Group 2, and all going well there. They win that and head on to the Everest because Clayton gets a new suit every time he goes to the races, so he needs to win an Everest to fund his little suit habit. Race 9 at Randwick on Saturday was the return of another horse, and that is Amelia's Jewel under the guidance now of Annabel Neesham and also her training partner. Didn't win, ran second, ran on pretty well. She just wants further than 1,400, Rich, as her former trainer Simon Miller often said.
Yes. No, it was a great comeback win for her. Annabelle Neesham said that she'll just plough on now, poke around. The King Charles is her goal, which is on Everest Day, that 1,600-metre $5 million race. Royal Patronage was a big talking point. Come across from the USA, trained by Gay and Adrian. Really good win. Once again showed us that, you know, these international horses are often better than ours. And the world is really his oyster. They're talking Epsoms. Then beyond that, they could go into a Caulfield Cup. Maybe, you know, Gay's always bullish about her horses. She's saying it's potentially a Cups horse. So it'd be interesting to see where things go with Royal Patronage.
You know what's a big headline is if Gay talks down one of her horses. That's big news. Hey, let's wrap up the Straight Six in the same way we do and will do each and every week, and that is with the key ratings from the best ratings man in the business, Dan O'Sullivan. And let's have a look at who were the rating stars on Saturday.
Yeah, so here you can see Dano puts up on a Monday morning the top five winning performances from the weekend. So interestingly there, we've got I Am Me slightly on top of Mornington Glory. So even I Am Me obviously won the Concord. Concord's only a Group 3 race, but we know it really should be Group 1. So just slightly outrated Mornington Glory at 102, and that's a massive rating for Mornington Glory. That's an elite horse rating, 102. So Gavin Bedgood and your mate Shane Crawford will be very happy about that.
This is a horse that was in a Class 1 at Ballarat less than a year ago. This is an unbelievable rise to prominence.
Yes. And Royal Patronage, we've already spoken about him, really good. Buckaroo did well. He's going to go deep into the spring. The interesting one here that sort of popped up on me, and Dano's ratings often do this, was A Little Deep. So A Little Deep was in the Chautauqua Stakes. Arkansas Kid was the dominant favourite. We might play the vision of A Little Deep winning the Chautauqua. So he's out the back there, or sorry, she's out the back there with Jamie on board, and Jamie just one of her lovely rides where she just
got it right comes this out week, wide didn't she, and goes bang. Got it right this week.
Yeah. So Arkansas Kid's gone the lead, and A Little Deep is just that little bit too quick over the last bit. Not too bad for Arkansas Kid, I guess. They were talking Everest, but I think after that run, they probably have to reassess. But Little Deep, say, pretty lightly raced five-year-old mare from the Kieran Maher stable. And Maher said that they will just sort of poke around through the spring with her. That was her first stakes win. I mean, that was a 1,200-metre race at the Valley, so you'd think, well, would they want to throw her into a Manicato in a few weeks' time? I don't think it sounded like they want to do that. But maybe they'd look at sort of a Group 2 or Group 1 race later on in the spring for her because she was really strong, and Dano's rating reinforces that.
Philip Stokes had a good day on Saturday too. It wasn't at Randwick. It wasn't at Moonee Valley. It was at one of the most iconic race meets in the country, the Birdsville races, the Birdsville Cup. And he got Neodium home in the big one. And, if you're watching on YouTube rather than listening to the podcast, you'll see the vision now. The Birdsville Cup just looks like one of the great race stars. I know Moods is a big fan of it because he's a Western Queensland boy, but geez, it's just something so different to what we're used to, Rich.
It's brilliant, isn't it? You can see the horses just about to go past the winning post here, and I just love all the people in there at Crewbridge, just good country folk. And every year you see it, there's never a cloud in the sky. It's always perfectly sunny. And did you say that Moods has a real desire to win the Birdsville Cup and he's never been able to do it? Is that right?
Yeah, he'd love to win a Birdsville Cup and love to have an interest as an owner, not so much as a trainer, but being from Charleville up in Western Queensland, he loves this race. He loves the day, and yeah, he's desperate to be one. Good to see his good mate Stokesy has now won back to back Birdsville Cups. What's your bucket list race to go to? Is it a Royal Ascot, or would you? What about?
I've been a Royal Ascot, so I went to Black Caviar, so that was pretty lucky.
And there
was
Black.
I actually went and saw Frankel as well. I went on the Tuesday, and that's when Frankel had his biggest win ever. So I was pretty lucky there. I tell you what I really like is the that sort of New Zealand Cup week. I wouldn't mind going over there where they have the trotting and they have the greyhounds and they have the horses as well. That's probably
your cards right, Rich. Our good friends at Entain, big players in New Zealand racing.
That's right.
So we might hit them up. I went to a Broome Cup with Moods actually about five or 6 years ago, and that is the best positioning of a racetrack you will find anywhere. It sits up basically on a cliff that overlooks Cable Beach. It's something else. So, as for where I want to go, I think I've got to say Royal Ascot. It's a bit la-di-da, but I'd love to go.
We love comments in YouTube. So if you want to tell us what your bucket list race meeting would be, please put it in the comments. And also we love your analysis and insight and thoughts on everything that happened on the weekend. There's some very, very, very intelligent, interesting people out there. So wacky comments in as well. And we've actually got a little bit of an incentive. So the most insightful comment judged by Rog and I each week, we'll give you a $100 merch pack. You can go and get the best merch in the game like I'm wearing. We need to get you a bit more merch, Rog. You're a bit.
Yeah,
a bit
I don't know whether the Mansfield Football Club hoodie is quite as good as the Wolf Den punting top, but you know, you got to rep your hometown.
Yeah.
But anyway, we move on. That's it for the Straight Six. Let's move in now to Cook the Book. Time now for the segment which was very popular in week one of .com and the Den Mondays. It is Cook the Book, and joining us from Ladbrokes is Tom Hackett, and of course from Wolf Den, Kingsley Bartholomew. Let's start with the Group 1 Moy Stakes, Tom. Another double figure winner with Mornington Glory getting up at 10s, but was well found in the market having opened near double that. So I'm guessing that it wasn't a huge result for Ladbrokes.
It did still end up being quite a profitable result. Ladbrokes book, Rog. Mornington Glory, a $403,000 winner for the book, as there was support for mainly for Lady of Camelot and Estriella late, some big money. Mornington Glory, the price did move very quickly. It was open at $21 into $8 by the time they jumped, but that move did come quite early. There's no doubt the bookies got that one wrong. That price was wound in quite quickly, so there wasn't too much damage done there. And then the money was sort of split on the day, and then particularly that late big money coming for Estrella meant that despite the market move, Mornington Glory is still a really positive result for the Ladbrokes book.
Kings, I'm surprised at that. I would think that a few of the pros were on Mornington Glory given that move. Were you one of them?
Yeah, Mornington Glory was my only bet in the race. I missed the $21. I took about $12 and $11 on the day of the race. I noticed Ladbrokes were very short at the end into about $8.50, where a few of the bookies were $9 and $9.50. So I thought you guys might have actually lost on the race. So I did notice that, yeah, $21. It didn't last long on the Wednesday. Lady of Camelot was an interesting one. $4 into $3 early. Then got out to as much as $5.50 in the end, the way the track sort of was playing a little bit where the inside wasn't an advantage. But at the time, I thought Lady of Camelot was very short.
I thought the track overall was really good on Saturday at Moonee Valley. I thought it played very nicely and gave every horse a chance, as we saw in the last race. Blake Shin was able to take one up the rail. So it all evens out. Pericles was the punter's best friend, though, Tommy. Backed as if unbeatable, and they couldn't beat him. Was that a strip out?
Yeah, absolute strip out there, Rog. Even there was the Group 1 race on the card, the Moya Stakes, but the best backed horse on the card in terms of turnover was Pericles. The hold was almost $500,000, ended up being a $300,000 loss for the book, and it was a very, very easy watch for those of us that found Pericles. Just got the lovely trail, and then bang, off it went. And it's going to have to step up now. It'll end up in stronger races than this, but it has shortened, particularly for the Underwood Stakes. It's been a bit of a shortener there with the Ladbrokes futures market. So I think Pericles is a horse I've always had a big opinion on. So it was good to see it sort of put that field away on Saturday.
Kings, what price did you have Pericles marked?
Around the $2.20 mark. It was the obvious pick, B Shin, the class horse on pace, but just not quite enough value there for me to sort of step in, but I was wrong. I wish I had taken the evens. It was about $2.20 into about $1.90. It was solid, but it wasn't a horse that I don't think a lot of the big professional punters gravitated towards. It was just, it was more of the obvious sort of recreational money coming in.
Yeah, it's one of those hindsight ones, like, geez, I could have doubled my money with Pericles. It was, it did look tomorrow. The good thing of the day. Giga Kick was absolutely friendless in betting, Tommy, and given the drift, I'm guessing your traders didn't give him too much hope.
No, it was one of those races with Giga Kick that I think that you were going to know going into the race what was going to happen. He was either going to be $2.50 into $1.80 and be unbeatable, or he was going to be $2.50 out to $5 and he had just about none, which ended up being the case. So I don't think his run was too bad, but there was the market knew that he was certainly not there to win on Saturday. Bit of money did come for Bella Nipotina late there in the Concord. IME did end up being a winning result for Ladbrokes, about a $186,000 winner for the Ladbrokes book. So particularly with Giga Kick, even with that late drift, there was a lot of that recreational money early, and then even late, there was still a bit of money as the horse got out to that very long price. But obviously, none of the pros were stepping in whatsoever.
How did that race finish? Well, you mentioned how it finished overall, but Bella Nipotina is always popular. I'm guessing if she'd got up, it would have been a fair old swing for the book to the negative.
Yeah, it would have been about a $400,000 swing, that photo finish with Bella Nipotina charging home. So that was definitely a photo finish that went our way at Randwick. And that was basically the case across the card at Randwick. Of the 10 races on the card, 8 finished in the way of the book. So it was a tough old day at Randwick for Ladbrokes punters.
Kings, would you reckon Bella Nipotina is a live hope in Everest? You'd imagine she'll probably get a slot before the end of the week. She's as honest as the day is long.
Oh, massive chance and a big run too, over 1,000 meters. But I'm amazed that Ladbrokes won on that race. $11 into 480. It just shows how the landscape is. That horse was absolutely smashed in betting the winner, Iron Meat. 11 into 480 and Ladbrokes at 186,000 on it. It just shows that sometimes the best back runners, the market fluctuations sometimes aren't derived by actual money that's coming in from a lot of the bookmakers nowadays. But yeah, Giga Kick, reasons why it was so easy. 270 looked very, very short over 1,000 metres. Hadn't raced for a year, 60 kilos, and more importantly, he's going to get back in the field. You saw I and Me drawn barrier two, Bella Nipotino drawn barrier one. It was an on-pace, on-fence type of day, and they've run first and second.
Kings, where do you stand on backing a horse that's first up in nearly a year off an injury break? I've been told by some wise people that's absolute poison.
Yeah, I'd stay out, to be honest with you, unless you're very skilled at looking at trials and that sort of thing. It's very hard to get them right, and often they're resuming over distances that aren't suitable. And if you've got to look at what the grand final is for a lot of these horses, and the Everest is for a lot of these horses as well. So intent is very important.
Overall, Tom, where did Ladbrokes? Well, you won in Sydney. How did you go at Moonee Valley on the weekend?
Punters finished in front at Moonee Valley. It was a close run thing. Certainly wasn't a huge profit, but punters had some good results. Pericles, as we touched on early, Silmarillion as well was a $336 winner for the book. For the punters. Evaporate in the first with a $145,000 winner. So punters just kept chipping away at Moonee Valley, and even with Mornington Glory being a big result for the book, the punters still finished in front at the Valley. That's the second Valley meeting in a row where the punters actually finished in front of the book.
It can be a graveyard sometimes for the punters, Moonee Valley, but obviously not the last couple of meets. Kings, from a futures point of view, is there anything that you saw on the weekend that you'd be very happy to back next start?
Yeah, you mentioned Bella. She was a huge run. Hey Sugi in the Moya was also a very big run. And I thought Manal in Sydney was very impressive coming down the middle of the track when it was hard to make ground.
And Tommy, Rich is super keen on Supercilious in 1,000 guineas. Now, she's not in the market, so can he have 100-1, which is the current longest price of those listed?
I'll speak to the traders, but I'd say that's a 0.00% chance of that one. But we'll get her added in. But now that we know Rich wants to get on, we'll probably have to half the quote.
Yeah, that's very disappointing. Hey, boys, thank you very much. Another terrific insight into how the punters and the bookies fared on the weekend. We'll catch you next week on .com and the Den Mondays. I love the Cook the Book segment, and the feedback from episode 1 of .com and the Den Mondays was so too do our viewers and our listeners. It's a great insight from Ladbrokes and also from the Wolf Den's Kingsley Bartholomew. Hey, let's look at next week now, Rich, because we've been talking about the Maccabi Diva for a while. And this just looks like a ripping race. I'm so excited. Yeah.
This is a serious race day on Saturday. Some really starting to get into the deep into the spring. It's a serious race day with some serious race horses going around. Let's talk about the Maccabi Diva first up. So the you can sort of like horses like Kovalika, Lady Laguna, Light Infantryman down the bottom, they probably won't run. I think that sort of the top 9 in the betting there are the ones who are going to run. You can also add in Circle of Fire from the Kieran Maher horse, from the Kieran Maher stable, which is one of the favourites for the Melbourne Cup. But it's going to be a pretty small select field of about 8 or 9. Let's go back up top. You've got V. Sestina, Mr. Brightside, Riff Rocket, Antino, Pride of Jenny. They'll be the ones that'll be right in the fight when the whips are cracking. Pinstripe's not definite to go there. They're just going to sort of wait and see. Interestingly, Warmonger, the Queensland Derby winner that won by 11 lengths or whatever it is, he'll be there for sure. A Tissue at pretty good odds. You know that A Tissue does like the mile at Flemington. Pride of Jenny, we know that Tony Otterbrey, he's left Twitter. He decided it wasn't for him.
Has he? I didn't know Twitter. That. That is
yeah,
breaking news.
Yeah, that was a big news over the weekend. Tony Otterbrey has left Twitter.
He was so good on it too.
Said he doesn't need the angst in his head, wakes him up at night. And I'm a bit the same. Like I always say I'm going to leave Twitter, but I never do. So I just need to say that I'm stuck
it's
there for life.
But it's interesting sometimes.
It is. So it'll be a fantastic race. And I guess with Pride of Jenny, we've gone through this before. She's getting out in the market. There's all kinds of doubts about her fitness, whether she's come back this preparation. She's going to be a pretty decent price. We know what happened last time Via Sestina and Pride of Jenny met. It was a pretty embarrassing situation for J-Mac and Chris Waller. They got
I don't think that'll be happening
down.
Again.
Well, we'll see. It's just so hard to know. And Mr. Brightside is in great form. Riff Rocket loves it at Flemington. It's going to be a brilliant, brilliant race.
Now, Let's Elope is also on at Flemington on Saturday. Let's Elope was that's the first, my first Melbourne Cup memory is Let's Elope's victory. and you look there at the likely runners, and you know, it looks like some pretty handy horses contesting this group too as well.
Yeah, this is all thanks to Trav Noonan's Likely Fields article, which we love reading every Sunday night. So this is a really hot field. Quintessa won the Cochrane, was really impressive winning the Cochrane. She's a Group 1 winner from New Zealand. Autumn Angel is one of the boom horses over the autumn. We know that she won the Oaks.
She's on a Caulfield Cup path. So this is resuming after winning, that ATC Oaks. And See You in Heaven needs to fire after that disappointing running at Morphaville a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. And we could just keep talking about all of them. So it's a really hot field. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, this should be a ripper. The Bobby Lewis as well on Saturday is Bunos Notches from Matthew Smith. The astrologist must be 15 by now. It feels like he's been racing forever. Shout out to Ryan Reynolds at racing.com, the chief of staff there, who's a part owner, along with about 150 other people. Sons Dutes, been one to watch, and one of my favourites, Stretton Angel, who I think is a very quality mare.
And Right to Party, one of the stars of the winter was Right to Party. Anthony and Sam Friedman horse. I'm actually on a plane to Melbourne tonight, and I'm going to Pine Cliff to spend some time with Sam and Anthony Friedman, have a bit of a chat with them. So I'm looking forward to doing that. But Right to Party will be right in the thick of that market, and it'll have the residual fitness over a lot of these horses. It'll be a great race.
Yeah, Skybird, of course, got scratched the barriers a couple of weeks ago, so hopefully all is right with her for Mitch Friedman, and she gets a run as well because she is a very exciting horse. We'll move on now, and like we say, Trav Noonan does God's work when it comes to the likely fields, and he gets through plenty of them. Let's move now to the Archer, which, a bit like the Manicato, has been shifted forward in the spring. This used to be on Derby Day, so the 2,500-metre Group 3 quality, which a golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup, Rich.
Yeah, really nice field. Berkshire Breeze, another star of the winter. Went down last start to Horrifying. Horrifying's backing up. Post Impressionist was a really, really impressive first up winner in Australia back in the autumn. So it's a really good race. Point King was a really impressive first up winner in Australia at Moonee Valley as well. So, I'm really looking forward to this race. Quick question for you, Rog. Do you think the horse that wins this race and therefore gets a golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup, do you think Connections should be allowed to sell that if they wanted to?
It's not a slot race. There's too much prestige in the Melbourne Cup. You should be earning it, earning your spot there. Otherwise, being able to buy your way into a Melbourne Cup, no. Hard no.
Cool. Well, I want everyone else out there, let me know, YouTube land, let me know what you think. Do you think they should be able to sell their slot? I might even put it up on Twitter as well, see what the response is.
But it's not a slot. It's just you've got a spot in the race, and we've got, you still might not get there through attrition. So, definitely not. The Melbourne Cup, it's not your Peter Volandi's, $20 million slot race.
It's a big not sweet.
This is a race steeped in history and tradition, Richard. We don't go selling tickets into the time-honoured Melbourne Cup. Let's move on to the Poseidon and look at the likely field.
Trav didn't really know exactly how the field was going to look for this race, but it's an 1,100-metre race for the three-year-olds. And Growing Empire will be in it. So Growing Empire is one of the most exciting horses in the country. Also got Dublin Down. Dublin Down did really well over the autumn. So that field is just slowly coming together. But the most exciting part of the Poseidon is that we will see Growing Empire again. I'd imagine that he will be very, very short.
Yeah, the Run to the Rose also looks a ripper because that Golden Rose is shaping up as one of the races of the spring. And we get to see Storm Boy back after a brilliant resumption. Bustling, as mentioned, has already got a spot in the Everest. Switzerland, we haven't seen. Linebackers, many people's top seeds in terms of the three-year-old sprinting ranks. This is a ripper.
Absolute crack of a race. Just wowee. So many good horses in that field. I mean, you probably got like Gatsby's. It's probably going to be about $10 or $11, I would say.
Yeah, the shine went off Gatsby's last start.
Yeah, and then everyone's horses to follow out of the race that Storm Boy won so impressively was Tropicus. And he'll line up again in this. So, yeah, really, really good race.
Yep. We had a ripping weekend of racing last weekend, and we've got another cracker ahead at both Flemington and Rose Hill. And we'll be back next Monday to take you through all that mattered. And, of course, we'll have cooked the book. It's .com of the Den Mondays, Rich, and it's an exciting time as we go deeper and deeper, just a little deep, into the spring.
Love it, Rog. I love doing this show, Matt. I appreciate your help doing it today, and we'll be back next week. Up the Den, and I'll see you all soon. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.